And luckily for us, we are joined by Zafar Bengash. Are you there, Zafar?
Hello, Phil. Yes, I am.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, Zafar. You got an important event coming up this weekend.
And that's right.
Who is coming, and what brings him to our shores, as they say?
We have invited Lord Nazir Ahmed from England. He's a member of the British House of Lords, which is the upper house. And he is also the founding member, as well as the past chair of the All Parties Parliamentary Committee on Kashmir in the British Parliament. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, Kashmir is a very important issue, although regrettably, the media here does not pay much or any attention to it at all. Mm-hmm. In fact, just to give you an example, over the last 2 days, there have been several people that have been killed in Kashmir. There has been actually round-the-clock curfew that the Indian Army has imposed in Kashmir since July the 8th. And the reason why July the 8th is important is that exactly a year ago, a young charismatic Kashmiri freedom fighter by the name of Burhan Wani was killed by the Indian Army on July the 8th. He was a famous person in the sense that although he was only 22 years old, but he had become something of an icon in Kashmir because he was very good at using the social media, mm-hmm. and people really loved him and admired him for his courage, for his foresight, for his motivation, and so on. And when the Indian Army killed him on July the 8th, obviously the Indian government, the media, etc., they were all, very, very pleased about their achievement. Mm-hmm. Little did they realize that the next day, which was July the 9th, when Burhan Wani's funeral took place, there were more than 200,000 people that poured into the streets. Mm. Now, those people came out despite the fact that the army had clamped down a curfew in Kashmir on the major cities, and yet people defied the curfew. Of course, the army resorted to shooting. They killed about 30, 40 people. Hundreds were injured. But people were absolutely furious at what the Indian Army had done. And since that time, there have been protests in Kashmir. And on the first anniversary of Burhan Wani's killings, the leadership in Kashmir, this is the leadership that is struggling for their rights, that the leadership that represents the Kashmiri people, they want a referendum to determine their own future. Mm-hmm. They called for a week-long protest. So again, the Indian Army clamped down a curfew. So for the last 3 days, virtually every city in Kashmir is totally shut down. People cannot come out. There are barbed wires all over the place. The roads are blocked. In fact, the army has also confiscated all of the motorbikes that people had, so that people would not be able to move from one town to another. Mm. Of course, people can't move in cars because the roads have got barbed wires and barricades and so on. But they even confiscated the motorbikes so that people would not be able to go on side roads or go on in the fields or whatever to get to other villages. So the place is totally shut down. Hmm. And in fact, in Kashmir today, in every between cities, for instance, if let's say there is one city, the major city being Srinagar, which is the capital city, and if people want to go to another city, which may be 40, 50 miles away, at every 5 kilometers, there are military checkpoints, and it's not just checkpoints, but there are then for about half a kilometer, there are barbed wires, there are barriers, and so on. And every step of the way, people, when they approach those barriers, they are frisked, they are checked, they can be beaten up, they can be shot. There is absolutely no law over there. Mm. And this situation has been going on for decades in Kashmir. It has intensified over the last year, and it is, in fact, to commemorate the martyrdom of that young Kashmiri freedom fighter, Burhan Wani, that we have organized this program, and we have invited Lord Nazir Ahmed from England, who would be speaking at our center, which is at 1380 Stouffville Road in Richmond Hill on Saturday. The program starts at 6 p.m., Saturday, July the 15th. And then the following day, Sunday, July the 16th, there is a similar program taking place in Hamilton at 3 p.m., at the New Vision United Church, which is located at 24 Main Street West in Hamilton, opposite Hamilton City Hall.
Mm-hmm.
So, and of course, we have also got a number of sort of, you know, local speakers there from the Canadian mm-hmm. Peace Alliance, yourself, and, you know, anti-war movement people.
I look forward to that.
Yes. So, you know, it'll be a major, major event, good event. And mm-hmm. I'm sure that people will enjoy. They learn a lot about what is taking place in Kashmir.
Yeah, and we're speaking to Zafar Bengash, crescent-online.org, and
dot net.
Dot net.
Yes.
Got me. I'd never trust my own memory. Zafar, what is Lord Nasir Ahmed? What is his parliamentary group proposing themselves? Does he have a plan or proposal that, for example, we could take to Canadian parliamentarians? What are they proposing?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, what he has done is this parliamentary committee consists of members of parliament from all political parties in Britain. So that's the first thing. Secondly, their main agenda is that they should force the British government or urge the British government to urge India to abide by its own commitments to hold a referendum in Kashmir as it is enshrined in about 20 United Nations Security Council resolutions.
How many?
20. There are 20 Security Council resolutions, one year after another, starting right from 1948, and the last resolution was in 1998, mm-hmm. calling for a referendum in Kashmir so that the people can determine their own future. And India adamantly refuses to abide by that, although it's India that had taken the matter to the UN Security Council back in 1948 when fighting broke out, when the people stood up or rose up against the ruler at that time, because the people wanted their choice was that they wanted to become part of Pakistan. And the ruler, of course, he hesitated, the people rose up against him, the Indian army invaded to occupy the land, and the Indian rulers at the time promised that as soon as there is peace and security, law and order has been restored, a referendum would be held. The first Indian Prime Minister, Jawaharlal Nehru, repeatedly said this. He made these pledges in telegrams to Pakistani leaders, In his radio broadcast, he pledged that, you know, this is something that we cannot back out of. We have made this pledge to the Kashmiri people that they will determine their own future, etc., through a referendum. The United Nations Security Council resolutions have affirmed that. But since India tightened its military grip on Kashmir, now it is backtracking from that. Just to give a sense of what India is doing in Kashmir, India has 700,000 troops over there. These are army troops.
700,000.
700,000. Then they have what is referred to as the border security force. Then they have another force that is called the Central Reserve Police Force. Then they have the regular police force. So altogether, India has about 1 million armed forces in Kashmir. And it is the most heavily militarized region in the world. In the capital city, Srinagar, whose total population is 1 million, India has an army of 300,000. At every street corner, at every alleyway, there is a military checkpoint. In fact, India has installed security cameras at every street intersection. All the houses in Kashmir are monitored. It knows precisely who lives in which house, what is the size of a house, how many people live there, how many men, how many women, how many children, what their ages are, what their occupations are. Everything is monitored over there. And by maintaining all of this force, what India is trying to do is to crush the aspirations of the Kashmiri people. For 70 years, it has tried and failed. In fact, today, men, not just men, but women and children have also joined the protest. Of course, these are totally unarmed people. All they have is they pick up stones and they throw at these heavily armed soldiers or armored personnel carriers. Of course, they can't do any damage to them. But it shows their anger at the occupiers. They want to get rid of their occupiers. They just don't want them there. And despite the fact that the army shoots indiscriminately, they've killed about 100,000 people in Kashmir so far. They've actually there are about 56,000 people that are missing in Kashmir. Nobody knows what's happened to them. These are all, young people in their teens or in their 20s, people that obviously are activists or that can mobilize people. These include school teachers, these include doctors, engineers, accountants, professors, etc. Wow. And then, of course, the most ghastly of things that India has been guilty of, and unfortunately, not a single person has either been apprehended or punished for it, and that is that the Indian occupation forces have committed more than 11,000 rapes of Kashmiri women. This is meant basically to humiliate them, to force them to surrender. And they do it in a very brutal manner, in the sense that they would go into a house, they'll grab the women, they'll get the men outside, then they'll grab the women, bring them out, and they will rape people's mothers, wives, daughters, sisters, right in front of them, and they'll force them to watch this. This has been documented by Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, even the UN, High Commissioner for Human Rights have documented cases. The International Committee of the Red Cross has documented these things. In fact, Indian human rights organizations have documented these things. And they've said,
I was going to ask about that. There are voices in India that say this is destructive, not only to Kashmiri people, but it is destructive of Indian democracy and respect for human rights.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, when this latest uprising began, there was an all-parties delegation that went to Kashmir. This included, members of the Congress Party, other political parties, human rights organizations. When they came back, they submitted a report to the Indian government, and they said openly, they said, look, we have lost Kashmir. The people of Kashmir don't want us. What is it that we are doing? Why is it that we are doing this? Why are we brutalizing these people when they don't want us? Mm-hmm. It is destroying India's moral fiber. It is destroying India's democracy. But of course, there is unfortunately a Nazi-like government in India that mm-hmm. simply refuses to abide by any laws or any principles. And so they just continue to violate the rights of the Kashmiri people. And there are very, very important voices in India itself. One person that I admire tremendously, and she has really, really shown extraordinary courage, and that is this wonderful, wonderful, woman, Indian writer Arundhati Roy. She has publicly spoken out about the Indian army atrocities against the Kashmiri people. She has, in fact, made documentaries. She has spoken out on television. And there have been death threats against her. And she said, look, I'm not afraid to die, because what the Indian army is doing is destroying the moral fabric of the Indian society. Mm-hmm. And that's not what it ought to be doing. Mm-hmm. So there are very important voices in India itself that have been raised against the terrible things that are going on over there. And I would say that, regrettably, our government here in Canada has remained totally silent about this, despite the fact that on as far as the Canadian government policy is concerned, in terms of what is on the Foreign Affairs website, Kashmir remains disputed territory whose future has to be decided according to the United Nations Security Council resolutions. In fact, the first Security Council resolution, when it was passed, Canada was a member of the Security Council, and it supported that resolution that there should be a referendum over there. Mm-hmm. And yet, and there were actually no votes cast against that resolution. There were only 3 abstentions. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the overwhelming majority of the members of the Security Council voted for that resolution and all subsequent resolutions. And yet we have a situation, a very curious situation, that our own government in Ottawa refuses to even utter a single word of condemnation of India's atrocious behavior. And that's why we believe that these programs that we are organizing are important in order to bring this kind of information to the attention of the broader Canadian public. Yeah. And I would say I'm glad that, we have some very, very important voices for peace, anti-war voices, etc., that are joining us, because they do realize that great injustices are being perpetrated in Kashmir.
Yeah. Well, I'm certain of that. I know there's going to be great interest. It's Lord Nazir Ahmed, and he's going to be at 1380 Stouffville Road, Saturday, the 15th at 6 p.m. and at New Vision Church Hamilton at 3 p.m., 24 Main Street. People can call 647-236-7890. Zafar Ben-Gash, it's a pleasure to talk to you, and it is a very important event, and we will continue to follow the subject. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Phil. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep. Bye. Bye-bye. Zafar Ben-Gash, and I will get it right this time, crescent-online.net.
.net.
I went org. It was net.
No, you can't org it.
Okay. I think we're going to take a little break. We'll probably get to hear some Lee Morgan, and then we'll come back and chat some more.